Hey guys, remember the good old days when we used to travel, where you could plan a family vacation and have fun with your children, going out and all of that? Yeah, so those days are not totally gone. And my guest today has a life mission of helping you guys achieve those wonderful moments with your children, whether there's a pandemic or not. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Apparently Parent Podcast. My name is Iran Katz, and I'm a clinical psychologist, a parenting counselor, and also a father. In this show, we combine the art of parenting with the science of psychology. So if you want to understand your children and yourself better, lead your family into calmer waters, and reach the end of the day with a smile on your face, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Iran Katz. All right, so my guest for today is a filmmaker who helped create the Academy Award-winning short film God of Love, as well as other creations in film and TV. But today he is one of the co-founders of Dad Ventures, which is a startup dedicated to help parents find fun things to do with their kids, which I think is quite needed and a noble cause for today's world and in general. And let us all give a happy, warm welcome to Stephen DiBianco. Stephen, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. As I was reading your introduction, I remember that I had this dream when I was much, much younger to be a filmmaker and to win an Academy Award. So this is the closest I've got to that.
Yeah, that was my dream. Not necessarily the Academy Award piece. That was very surprising and unexpected. But a love of movies was something that I definitely developed over time. And still to this day, I try to really enjoy watching movies with my kids as a family.
Okay, cool. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about movies as well. Sure. But, first things first, every conversation I have with people in this year starts with where you're from and what's it like down there in these times. So maybe you can share a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. I'm in Pasadena, California. So just part of Los Angeles. And as of now, things are, I would say, somewhat normal. I would say that even though from a national across the United States, there's a lot of cases where we live in Southern California, things have been continuing to go down. And so they're in a fairly good spot. And I would just say that from within our household and then with our friends and people and, you know, the schools that our children go to, I think people have just adjusted a lot. And so people are understanding that there's, you know, ongoing change and they're used to it now.
Yeah. I think the word adjusted is maybe one of the most important words for this year, making adjustments. Yeah.
Ongoing. It doesn't stop because it keeps changing. You know, it might be down now, but there's always that thought that, hey, it can go up again.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, when this episode is aired, it's going to be in a couple of weeks from when this is being recorded. So I just want to tell our listeners that this is being recorded a couple of days before the elections. So I guess that also, you know, puts more tension or more, I don't know, maybe tension is not the right word. I don't know what's it like to be a couple of days before such an event in specifically in 2020.
Yeah, for sure. The, I think, My wife is very has been anxious, and as it's sort of like as we get closer and closer to the date, for sure that's ramped up. And some of my colleagues at Dad Ventures have expressed similar feelings. Mm-hmm. When you hear about it, sort of like the most important election of our lifetime, or something like that, or in history. And it definitely has that sense right now, is the feeling of it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that helps, but here in Israel, we had, I think, 3 elections in the last year or so, or 18 months. It's been crazy. But a different kind of system.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're not here to talk about politics. We're here to talk about your venture, which is called, and you mentioned that, The Adventures, and our listeners can find it, more information about it at hellotheadventures.com. And so I just wanted to ask you, before we talk about what The Adventure is, I looked at the website and I know there's a story, a nice story behind the idea that led to become The Adventures, and it involves something that seems from, you know, the olden days where people used to travel, and there's a Disneyland story here. So maybe you want to share the story with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to. Yeah, this was actually the inspiration for starting the company, for starting The Adventures, and it all stemmed from a trip to Disneyland with my family. So my daughter, for her fifth birthday, we said, okay, we'll take the family to Disneyland to celebrate. And for me, it's like, when I go to Disneyland, I don't want to spend all my time waiting in line. I want to make sure that we're getting the most fun out of the time, because it's so expensive. You don't want to spend all your time just waiting in line. So I did a lot of work in advance to make sure that we would have as sort of efficient a trip as possible. So the first thing I did, I have three kids, but the two older ones, I measured how tall they were. So wow. I said, okay, this is how tall you are. So these are the rides that you can't go on. So we can just eliminate those rides. And then I went and I polled them. I said, hey, what are the top three rides you want to go on? So I said, okay, these are the ones they want to go on. Then I cross-referenced that with, okay, which are the rides are the most popular? Which have the longest lines? And then of those rides, which of them are the closest together? So that we don't spend our time walking back and forth, but we're going to be, okay, we're here, let's do these rides all at once. And so when we showed up to Disneyland, we got there, and within the first 2 hours of our trip, we went on 8 rides.
Wow.
And that's like unheard of. It was incredible.
So this is how you win Disneyland.
This is how you win Disneyland. And what I realized, I said, wow, this is like the plan worked. This is amazing. And I saw these smiles. I actually have the photo, but I saw these smiles on my kids' faces. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I realized, wow, this is what being a good dad feels like. I could actually put my finger on what that feeling of being a good dad feels like. And it was seeing those smiles. It was seeing those smiles on their faces and knowing that it was my work that helped make those smiles happen. And so I said, wow, my kids are happy. I'm feeling great. I want more of this. But interestingly, the person who was maybe the most happy was my wife. My wife was so happy because she didn't have to do anything. She does so much already. She does so much planning, helping, whether it's like buying the kids clothes, doing all of these different things. So for me to take that off her plate, help be part of the solution and creating such this like fun family moment, I said, wow, I need to do more of this. I need to get more of this. And that led to The Adventures.
Awesome. What a lovely story. And thank you for sharing that and the photo as well. You could, for those of you who listen on audio, you didn't see that, but those were nice smiles on your kids' faces. and I love that how you can really pinpoint that and all the work you put in the pre-thinking and pre-planning, because I bet most of the people don't do that. And you really want Disneyland. You maximized the experience.
And it was a lot of work because I went and I was doing things like going on YouTube and finding videos to show my kids, okay, here are the rides, like getting them prepared and finding additional tips and tricks that I could make my trip, you know, more efficient and smooth. But parents, in addition to just being a parent, we talk to parents all the time, dads, busy moms. And it's like, who has the time to do all that planning, to figure all this out? If you're going to go do something with your kid, it's sort of like the last thing you want to do is spend several hours planning that trip. usually at the end of a workday, you're so tired. And so that's part of the mission for Dad Ventures, is to help do that work for parents, so they don't have to spend that time figuring out, researching, oh, what do we do? How do we have a good time? They can focus more on just being present with their kids and just seeing those smiles.
Yeah. And, you know, I just wanted to add it from a psychology point of view, which is my profession. When you did that and when you do that, you actually show your kids with your actions how you actually see them and their needs, and you hold them in your mind, which is a lot, which is really, really a lot. And you also allow yourself to be more present in the moment with them, without worrying about, whoa, now this line is so long and it ruined the day and stuff like that. You really are able to be present with them because you made this work in advance.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for calling that out. I it's one of these things that it comes back to my filmmaking background. Because what ends up happening is you spend all of this time writing a script, and then you spend all of this time finding actors and crew people to help you create this vision. And at the end of the day, you have a short amount of time to film this idea. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, something happens. Something goes wrong. Oh, it starts raining. It wasn't supposed to be raining. Oh, there's this like noise, construction outside. So the sound, we can't film because it's so loud. And so you end up running into all these problems. And what you learn from film production is you just have to be incredibly flexible. You have to be able to change. You have to have a really solid plan, but then be able to change that plan in the middle of that action. And I think that's very much being a parent. Exactly. You think it's going to go one way. You have your plan. But then all of a sudden something happens. Oh, somebody starts crying. Oh, somebody has to go to the bathroom. Oh, we forgot this. Like, you have to suddenly change gears. And what I've learned is, like, especially for a more expensive trip like Disneyland, one that you want to be more special, you know, the more planned and prepared you can be, then you can really handle all of those unexpected mm-hmm. challenges that come up and really be present, as you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Today I read about some studies that were done recently trying to figure out the difference between parents who feel that they are more able to cope with COVID and with the changes it brought into their lives, and those parents who are less capable of doing that. And the notion of psychological flexibility is a big part of that, being able to go with the flow. You know where you want to go, but you're able to move freely or somewhat freely between the needs of the different children and changes. And that's a big part of it.
Yeah, so, it's interesting. Just another comment on that mm-hmm. flexibility. When I've talked to, and I was talking to a few parents over the past couple of weeks and asking them about recent outings that they've done with their family, and in many cases, they were telling me about places that they had been to before. So, oh, we had gone to a Halloween pumpkin patch before. We had a great time. We wanted to go back this time. We were very familiar with what the surroundings would be like. And I think it speaks to the fact that, especially if you have younger kids, if you are a newer parent, everything is new. And so you don't have that that base of knowledge. And so there's a lot more unknowns that you have to work your way through. Over time, my oldest child is 10. And so we've been to a number of places. I like to say when she turned 10 years old, that was also my dadiversary, my 10-year anniversary of being a dad. And so to me, it's like, oh, that flexibility is incredibly difficult when you're just starting out and you don't know what to do. Yeah. But over time, as you get more experience, then you have the experience to know, okay, cool, these are more of what can happen, and here you have your backup plans ready to go.
Yeah, and you already know that you're capable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dad Ventures, what is Dad Ventures?
Yeah, so Dad Ventures, as you sort of mentioned before, we're really focused on helping parents, especially busy parents, so dads and moms really do more fun things with their kids. And so we started off originally just focused on the Los Angeles area where we are, and have expanded to within California, San Diego, San Francisco. And this was pre-pandemic, and it was really focused on things to do with your children outside of the house. So there might be a parade happening or a carnival, or you know, all of the things that aren't happening now.
Yeah.
and there was no real go-to source of where to find that, especially one that really spoke to dads, because there's so many resources out there for moms and so many resources out there for parents in general, which tend to really be geared towards moms, even mm-hmm. if it says it's for parents in general. And so we started Dadventures to help parents figure that out. And with the pandemic, we shifted gears for sure to include activities to do at home, whether that's different DIY science activities, science experiments, YouTube exercise videos to keep kids moving indoors, things of that nature. And so in the United States, as society has adjusted and is getting more accustomed to these conditions, more and more places that used to be closed are now reopening with more safety procedures in place. And so we've once again started to offer, hey, here are things to do outside of the house, which when we talk to our members, they say, oh man, I spend all week at home indoors. We need something. We need to get out somehow and still feel safe. Yeah. And so that's a big part of what we focus on, is helping parents figure that out, what is available, and making sure they can get those smiles on those kids' mm-hmm. faces, even if they're behind a mask.
Yeah. so basically, it's now kind of a combination between like a directory of ideas or even maybe guides of stuff that you can do at home with your children. And also, at least in that area of California, activities that you can do outside.
Exactly. Right now, we have sort of the strongest amount of offering in the California area. We also feature across several United States major cities, New York and Chicago, cities like that, for out-of-home options. But there is also certainly, you know, at-home activities, and we'll feature things like virtual Zoom events as mm-hmm. well, that are open to people around the world.
And is it geared towards specific age groups, or, you know, divided by age groups or something like that?
Yeah, so it's definitely divided by age, and we serve children or parents with children, let's call it roughly 0 to 12, mm-hmm. is sort of the broad range. I would say that the sweet spot is really around 3 to 8 years old, and this is what we were seeing pre-pandemic, and I would say is very much true now. And part of that is when you have a 3 to 8 year old, there's just sort of, you know, pre-pandemic there were less activities. So in a world where kids are having extra music lessons and sports and all of these other things, those parents who have kids, you know, 8 and older, who are really super involved in activities, don't need more things to do. Their mm-hmm. calendars are so busy.
Yeah.
So, and if you have a kid who's, you know, 0 to 2 years old, going to the park is about all the excitement that you need for the most part. And so for us, that like 3 to 8 year old range is really where it's like, it's really quite a nice age where the kids are old enough. They can maybe don't have nap time anymore. They can really go explore, and you can really go and do something special.
I guess that with time it's going to expand into, or at least tend to expand into more places, at least in the United States.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. The vision is, and I mean, I would be curious to hear from you what your experience is like in Israel. But certainly what we've seen in the United States is a couple of factors. Number one, dads being more involved mm-hmm. in family life currently than in previous generations. And so we believe that this is certainly a global trend. The role of dad is really shifting. And so there's a real opportunity to help dads around the world who are looking to get more active, but don't have the resources, don't have the knowledge or know where to turn to take on more responsibilities. So that's number one. And then number two is just really, yeah, again, the need for experiences, the need for connection. And so many members will tell us how, I want to get my kid off a screen. It's like,
now there's
even school screen time, right? There's all the school screen time. So it's just like, oh, my kid's just like in front of a screen all the time. How can I get them active? How can I get them outside? How can I get them moving? How can I get them interacting socially? And so those are, I think, really two big factors that are happening on a global level and are ones that we see as the opportunity to help make Dad Ventures even stronger. Right now, we're very early, but really being able to really be that source, that directory, that one-stop place for, oh man, what should we do? We have this time. We want to do something special. What can we do?
Okay, that's such a great cause. And I want to stress that although the name implies that it's for dads, the content is, well, especially it's for children, and children have different kinds of parents. But I do like the emphasis that you put on involving the dads more into the family and family life and into parenting, which is, well, both you and I are dads and it's dear to our hearts. And I do share these thoughts and the experience that also here in Israel, I think in the last decade, I don't have any research on that, but men are getting more and more involved in family life, in parenting at large, because it's a lot more than being involved, you know, in who's doing the dishes and who's changing the diapers. And there's a huge gap here, I think, still.
Yeah.
And the United States is culturally speaking is such a vast, you know, there's a lot of ranges, maybe even more, a lot more from the little state of Israel. But so there's different types of parents and cultures around that. But even in the notion of what it means to be a dad and how it's different than being a mom. I can attest from my own profession of psychology, talking about dads is something that psychology at large didn't really do. The psychoanalyst who, you know, created this field, they only talked about the moms. The dads were something outside, you know, the breadwinners.
And right.
even talked about as, in the early stages, it talked about something that interferes in the baby mom bond. Mm. And of course, in recent years, I mean like 2-3 decades, things are changing. But yeah, I think this is such an important thing, because being a parent for me, in my opinion, is one of the most important jobs, quote unquote, you have in life.
Right. I agree. We both share that real priority in being a dad. And to your, I think what you talked about with just the fact that so few recognize this as an issue, mm-hmm. is one that it's just sort of like surprising, because I think society is shifting, like this change is happening, but it's not necessarily one that many people are paying attention to. And so there's a real opportunity, again, just to me, the change is inevitable. Like the fact that dads will handle more responsibilities, will be equal partners, I believe that that's the world we're heading towards. But I believe that also there's ways to accelerate that change. And to me, that's where Dad Ventures can have a role to play, and just make it easy, make it, you know, speak to dads in a way that they feel understood. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious because, something that's come up, in our work is this idea of male isolation that, you know, for me as a child, I had many positive male role models in my life. I have a father who's very active. I also had three older brothers who are all over 10 years older than me. Wow. So they were like other father figures. And then also a grandfather who lived at our house. And so I had like a very positive impact role model in my life. But the idea of like men talking about their emotions and challenges in being a parent. This is not something that like no. I experienced. And so just sort of like, I think that there's just a lot to be done here to help support dads.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a really, really good segue. We're actually already here talking about the different roles of moms and dads in the family. And I know this is something that you want to talk about and think about. There's this idea of the dad gap that I saw yeah. on the website. So maybe yeah. you want to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Right. And I think this is a little bit of what I was talking about earlier, which is that, so I care a lot about being a good dad, and I know that I'm not perfect. There is so much room for improvement across the board and how I can be a better father. And again, there's so many resources out there for moms. When I talk to dads, they'll say, oh, my wife is part of all these mommy groups. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's Facebook groups and there's other groups and yeah. there's all this out there for moms, but there's nothing out there for me. And so to me, it's sort of like, how do you help dads get to where they want to be? So there's a lot of dads like me who are saying, hey, I want to be more active. I want to be more engaged. I just don't even know where to start. How can I do more? And the answer right now is there's so many things again out there for moms. And if you look at a parenting book, you might say, Hey dad, here's a parenting book, read this parenting book. That message, there might be great information in there, but that vehicle of delivery isn't going to resonate with a lot of dads. Very few dads are going to, and I'm stereotyping here, but a very few dads are going to pick up that parenting book and be like, okay, great. Like, let's do it. Yeah. And so for me, with that gap, how do you fill the gap? And part of it is really just starting and understanding where dads are and understanding what is it that dads find joy in. And the number one responsibility of dads in the households is play. Dads are responsible for roughhousing and playing with the kids. And I've heard about so many dads who during the pandemic are in charge of PE time and getting mm-hmm. the kids physical activity. So that's where dads already are. And so the thought with Dad Ventures is, let's help dads start to close the dad gap and be able to reach that ideal vision of being more active and involved in family life by starting with play and starting with entertainment. And if we can start there, that can help create this virtuous cycle where dad feels really positive and encouraged about the success he's having in family life. When he sees the smiles on his kids' faces and he knows that he had an impact on creating those smiles, then it leaves him with a good feeling. And he says, hey, I want to do more of that. I want to be more involved. And so that can really build. And the hope is that it can lead to broader conversations about what else can I be doing? Maybe I should be doing more in terms of planning the upcoming vacation that my wife is doing, right? That's a natural segue. Oh, okay. I'll book those reservations. I'll be in charge of doing all of that. And so again, the idea is like by helping close the dad gap and helping dad get more involved, who ends up winning is the kids. The kids get more in connection with dad. Dad feels really good about his role. And lastly, mom. Mom, again, is like very happy because mom carries so much of the weight in the house. And so getting dad more involved is a huge victory for mom as well.
And it also, it really speaks to the concept of the mental load.
Yes.
That is, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the mental load of usually the moms in the family who even you can see it even when the dad is quote unquote involved in, he's, you know, picking up the trash and doing the dishes and picking up the kids from school twice a week. But the one who organizes everything, who knows where every child has to be every day and every hour and et cetera, and when are the PTA meetings, usually are the moms, and they have a lot of mental load in that sense. So I really think that dads should also be aware of that, and the load should be divided as, you know, as equally as possible. We also speak of that, you know, gender roles and norms are stereotypically divided in a way, but, you know, in some families it will be divided in an opposite way. And we didn't even talk about, you know, families with both dads or both moms. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about some classical, I don't want to say natural because I don't think it's natural, sure, division, but the classical division of how things used to be. And
right.
And what I want to offer here is the thought that we, and this is a big part of what I'm trying to do in my work here in the podcast and in this framework of the parenting map that I'm using, is that you, each one of us parents, we need to be connected to our own values as human beings and as parents, and what is important for us, what is our purpose in this world and in parenting. And when you do that, when you work from that place of integrity, things really change and for everyone, and this is a ripple effect in the family.
Yeah, no, that's the idea of living our lives intentionally is a really big part of what my wife and I care about, and setting an example for our children, prioritizing our family, making them you know, not only in words but in actions as well. And so yeah, completely agree, and I'm excited to also learn more about your work.
You referred to Dad Ventures and how it affected your own relationship with your wife. Mm. So how do you see that today?
Yeah, I would say that it's interesting because my wife is very much an introvert and she loves to stay home, and I am an extrovert and I love to go out and adventures. And so in some ways,
you guys complete each other.
Yeah. In some ways it's been really beneficial for both of us, in the sense that she'll say, "Hey, I just need some time Saturday morning. Can I just have some alone time? These kids are all over me and I just need some space." And sometimes many times that space is to get some work done, is to do work to help the family, part of the mental load. Part of it is other work that she does in her career that she might not have time to get through during the week. But the good thing is when she says those, and when we have these conversations, I see it as an opportunity. I say, "Great. Yes, I would love to take the kids out of the house for 5 hours." And it's been interesting having to relearn what the options are in the times of pandemic, because so many places have been closed. But for me, it really gets me excited. That's a happy moment for me when I get to go and take the kids on a dad venture. And so from that sense, it's been really productive. But I think it's also on another level, it's really just allowed us to have these conversations on a regular basis about how can we work better during these times of the pandemic, and really understanding that these times are so challenging. Mm-hmm. And they constantly put new types of stress on us on a regular basis. And so it's forced us in many ways to step up our communication with each other. And really, all of the work that I've done at Dead Ventures and exploring topics like mental load have given me and her the really language and framework with which to discuss these things and understand these issues don't solve themselves. And what we're fighting against is years of ongoing, you know, sort of habits that we formed in our relationship that have led to imbalance. And also just, you know, the fact that we were raised in very different times that didn't support these. And so we value, while it's hard to have conversations, nobody wants to have a conversation about mental load or how to be a more equitable household on a regular basis. But when we come into these times, we've learned, hey, these are important conversations that ultimately are going to make things run more smoothly in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. And thanks for sharing that. I think it's so right and so profound how challenging everything seems in a year like this, because, you know, I know that there's going to be a day that we're going to look back on that. I don't know if we're going to laugh, but we're going to look back. So there's an end to that. But we don't know when and how things will look. And that can make people really, you know, stressed. But as we talked about it before, I think it was before we started recording, that adjustment is a really important word for this year. And the way you are learning to talk with each other about these issues is some kind of adjustment that many, many couples need to do, and many parents need to do between themselves and within themselves. Because you have to adjust as a parent yourself, and as a mom, as a dad, and to changing times. And this is what being flexible is all about.
Yeah, and I would say that, like, that adjustment, like, we've been married for 13 years. Our oldest is 10. There was a moment about 5 years into our marriage where our oldest daughter was 2, and our second child was, you know, just born. Mm-hmm. And my wife said, "Oh yeah," in her mind, she was very close to divorce. In her mind. And it took a couple years after that for us to go to therapy as a couple. And so there was a lot of work. There was a lot that was not getting said that really brought us very close to things falling apart, which I didn't even realize because I was so focused on career and not as focused on prioritizing family. And so it's taken, I would say, some pretty, pretty rough times to really open my eyes to the fact that, oh man, if I don't treat this as a priority, if I don't have these hard conversations, if I don't change my behavior, this is not going to last. This is going to fall apart. And that, to me, is one of the worst possible outcomes. And especially if it's preventable. And so for me, that's a huge part of like how we've gotten to the point where can have really powerful conversations. It's been a very painful and long, but very important growing process.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And I bet that it strengthened your relationship eventually.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the clock and we're coming to an end. And I want to ask you a couple of more things. The first thing is a question that I ask everyone at the end of this conversation. And I want you to think back. Your oldest child is 10 years old, right?
You said yes.
So 10 years ago, before you became a dad, and if you could have, you know, if you can take this younger Steven to coffee, maybe, or a beer, whatever he wanted, and have a little chat, and what would you want him to know? What would you tell him about the coming years, about the transition he's about to experience?
Yeah, I would say that for him, I think the real advice for him is really to be more, just to be a better listener, is to really listen to his wife, and ultimately it comes back to the better the communication, the better he would have been at listening instead of just talking, but listening. And I think this is something that I've been guilty of for sure, and have been more mindful of over the years, is sometimes my wife early on would say, "Hey, you're just telling me all these, you're trying to fix all my problems. You're trying to, like, what about this? Oh, you can do this." And it's like,
classic dad move.
Yeah, classic dad move. There should be a list of classic dad moves. I would love to see that list. And so I think that's a really, that was a key lesson that took a long time to learn. So the sooner it would have, knowing me, I wouldn't have really taken, it would have taken long. It's still taken a long time to be a better listener, but the sooner I could have gotten to that point, I think the better. And that's still a work in progress. Just understanding the listening part, and even times where my wife will say something, I hear what she says, but I just interpret it in a, it means something else to me, what she said. It means she's trying to say something, she says something, but I interpret it to mean something else. So making sure that in that listening, that I'm confirming, oh, is this what you mean? And not just taking it for granted that I understand, that we're really making sure we're getting on the same page. That really goes a long way.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a great thing. I think you just pinpointed one of the most important things in a relationship at large, but in a romantic relationship. And this is where a lot of men fall short, trying to fix too soon and trying to not really listening from the place of where their spouse is. So that's such a great advice. Thank you. And maybe just lastly, where can people find more about you and about Dad Ventures?
Yeah, they can check out the Dad Ventures website, hellodadventures.com. They can sign up there for our weekly email, which includes activities to do at home and in different cities such as Los Angeles. And then on social media, Dad Ventures, Hello Dad Ventures on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Great. And I will put the links for all of that in the show notes of this episode so people can get to that really easily.
Great.
And that's it. I want to thank you so much for talking with us today. And I think what you're doing is great. And everyone who makes more room and space for kids having fun and for dads becoming better dads, is a man to my liking.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you as well.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right, so that was Steven DiBianco, and I really enjoyed having this discussion with him, especially when we were talking about the roles of dads and moms, and the way I look at things is that parents are parents. I do not like the differentiation between gender roles, like there's a mom role or a dad role, or there's a different kind of parenting when you between moms and dads. And I think that to each his own, and we all have to find our own ways and what speaks to your heart as a parent. And some dads are more quote-unquote feminine in their parenting, and some moms are the opposite. So this is why I don't like this kind of mishmashing of everything. And I like how Steve regarded and shared his own journey as a dad at the beginning, and when he started to notice that he's not really there and he should put more effort into showing up both for his children and his wife, because we are all in it together as a family. And you know, I always say that as parents, you are the captains of your family's ship. It doesn't matter if you're parenting alone or with a spouse, you're in it together, and we are all in it together with a joint mission, or, you know, a joint vision of having the best life that we can. This is why finding the purpose in your role as a parent and living up to it, it means the world. It means the world to me, and I know that if you're doing it as well, it means the world to you. This is why I do what I do. This is why I wake up in the morning creating this podcast, talking with other parents, working with my clients. I think this is one of the most important jobs we ever do, and also one of the most fulfilling and the most impactful things we can do for this world. And with those words, I'm closing this episode for today. I want to thank you so much for listening to the Apparently Parent podcast. This is the end of 2020. We have one episode left for this year, and then we're kicking up a new year, hopefully a much better year than the last one we just had. Although you must admit that 2020 did has its moments, right? Its positive moments as well. So it's also good to look on that, and we're going to try and do that in the future. I would really appreciate it if you will take the time to let me know what you thought about these episodes or the podcast at large. You can let me know by going to my Instagram at apparentlyparent and just write to me over the DMs. I am very happy to chat with you guys. Or go to Apple Podcasts, search for this episode, and leave a review. I would really appreciate you for doing so. And I will see you again in the next episode of the Apparently Parent podcast. Take care.